Well, I'm turning you to Psalm 100 this morning. I guess if there's ever a time when we ought to be thankful, it's now. We can't say that we've passed through the worst. We believe we may well have done, and we hope that is the case. And thankfulness is something that should be part and parcel of the Christian life, not only daily, but for specific mercies and blessings that God is pleased to give us. There are many things that we've benefited from in the last few months. We've learnt the advantage of using technology as Christians to communicate one with another and to maintain our fellowship as Christian congregations. We've learned the value of remote worship and prayer, and we're so thankful for the technology that we've had. We're so thankful for the care that's been provided, for the medication, for the vaccine. In days gone by, there would have been no such thing. One thinks about the Black Death. You've got evidence of that up in in northern Derbyshire, when the plague was stopped. They had no way of stopping the plague in those days. And so we have great cause for thanksgiving. We have great cause for thanksgiving that God has been gracious to so many of his people. He's maintained his servants in pastoral oversight and in the ministry of the word. He's kept congregations together. One thing now, as an itinerating preacher, I'm so aware that we've all got perhaps different ideas of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I go to different churches, and I can say to you absolutely, I have not found two churches that do things exactly the same. And yet the Lord has been gracious in keeping us together, because what matters most is the Lord himself and our love to him and our desire to worship and serve him. And of course, there's always something to be thankful for. What does the old hymn say? Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Sometimes a little reflection will help us remember so many of the good things God has given to us. And of course, expressing appreciation is good for us. It shows our gratitude to the giver. When we express gratitude, it helps us remember that we've not achieved everything on our own. It keeps in mind that we have a great benefactor in the glory. So let's think about Psalm 100 this morning. It's the only psalm in the whole of the Psalter that's actually identified as a psalm for giving thanks. The most famous version we've already sung. It was by William Keith, and it came out of the Genevan Psalter. Spurgeon, I think, said something like this, that there's nothing can compare this side of heaven to the singing of Psalm 100 to the old 100th. He obviously had 5,000 people to hear singing, but it is a deeply moving tune and hymn. And why would we focus on a thing like this? Well, we as the people of God have a great sense of responsibility to the Lord. There are times when things burden us. How can we serve the Lord best? How can we keep going? Our prayers sometimes are not answered either as quickly as we would desire, or they're not answered in the way we'd want them to be, and sometimes there are delays and denials. And as the people of God, sometimes we look at the situation around us, we look at the indifferent community, we look at the tremendous opposition in the world, in the leaders of the world. We look at the persecution around the world, and we look at the struggles of our own little congregations. And sometimes we can get really down when we look at these situations. And that's one of the reasons why I'm turning you to 100 Psalm, because it helps us lift our thoughts away, not to ignore the circumstances that are on our hearts and burden us, but to sometimes lift our thoughts on high and count our blessings. So the first part of this psalm tells us that we're to praise and thank the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Rudyard Kipling was being paid a dollar per word for his work by American publishers. And some smart Cambridge students sent him $1 with this request. Please send us one of your very best words. Kipling replied with a one-word telegram. Thanks. So true, isn't it? One of the best words that we can use with one another and to the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear that in our dealings with each other and particularly with the Lord, we must be people who are so ready to give thanks. This flows over, of course, into the New Testament. Listen to the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian Christians. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5 and 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you doubtless have heard of Corrie ten Boom, who was a Dutch Christian incarcerated by the Nazis for sheltering the Jews. And she was shut up in a prison camp in Holland. And she, this text was very fastened on her heart. Give thanks in all circumstances. And one day her sister was absolutely bewildered to hear her thank the Lord for the fleas. As you know, in prison you get lice and fleas. And her sister was completely bewildered. But a little while later, her sister learned that the German guards didn't like to go into the women's cells because of the lice and the fleas. So they were largely free to do their own thing in their particular cells and block. You know, when someone has done something for us, something special perhaps even, we often find ourselves, what can I do for them to show my appreciation? I particularly notice it with perhaps some of our friends who've come from overseas, and we try and show them kindnesses in the church fellowship. And you can't get away with giving them anything without them giving you something back in return. How should we show appreciation to God for all the blessings he gives to us? Well, the psalm tells us, shout for joy to the Lord. The psalm sees God's people giving thanks in God's house. Now, the word in the original, which is translated shout, really would be a loud cheer. You could imagine the Israelites, they, when perhaps David had come back from a victory over the Philistines, there would be this loud shout, this cheer, as David came back to Jerusalem. And, you know, I'm sure there were some cheers ringing around Ashbourne some weeks ago when England actually were winning some of their football matches. They certainly did in my village. I went down the village shop and said to the girl in the empty shop and the empty square, have you heard the result of the football? Oh, she said, no, she said, but I heard a big shout in the square, so I know who's won. And David is saying, shout to the Lord. Cheer the Lord, praise him loudly. And he says it here, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It's an invitation to the whole world. Obviously, we as Christians give thanks, and we give thanks particularly for the blessings of redemption and for all that the Lord gives us. But here, we are to do it particularly for other blessings. Well, we're also to serve the Lord with gladness. Spurgeon says, our cheerful spirit is in keeping with the gratitude we should cherish for his mercies. Worship or serve the Lord. The word can be translated worship or serve with gladness. In other words, we serve God by our worship. We worship God by serving him. You know, people gladly praise their heroes and celebrities, but we gladly praise and worship our Lord. As Paul says to Romans in chapter 12, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of spirit. This is your spiritual act of worship, or your spiritual act of service. In other words, giving our lives to the Lord, gladly offering what we can, offering what we can do, offering ourselves to please the Lord gladly. It's very dangerous to neglect this matter. The Lord warned the Israelites once they'd settled in the land in Deuteronomy 28. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with a joy and glad heart for the abundance of all the things, therefore you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. Oh, what a dreadful thing to have to say to them. Here they were, they'd been given all the blessings of the promised land. They hadn't had to fight for these blessings. They'd fallen in their lap.